is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Restaurante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Hour number two of our Saturday morning extravaganza at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. About a month ago, Vicki Yates, of course, longtime News Channel 5 anchor and just one of the bright, bright people in all of Music City, was a guest on One-on-One with Greg Pogue. And it was her idea, not mine, her idea that she come. And she comes in and is the host, and I'm the guest. And so, Vicki, that's all I'm going to say. The show is yours.
Well, good morning, and welcome to One-on-One with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, live on location from the iconic Roy's Meat Service. I am Vicki Yates, and this morning we are turning the tables on Greg because I'm hosting the show, and he's going to be answering the questions. Now, we're going to do a few kind of silly questions, but
we don't know. We haven't talked.
No, you have no idea what I'm going to ask you. So, and that may be or maybe not good.
Yep.
But okay, this is a strange question, but it's kind of something to get you thinking. What is your very first memory? Back to when you were a child, even. What is your very first memory?
It's not a good one.
Okay.
I fell out of the bed and hit my head, and they put me in a straitjacket so I could put the stitches right above my eye.
Goodness.
Thank you for bringing that up. Anything else?
Sorry.
I need to lie down for the rest of this interview. I just remember that because I guess it was pretty traumatic.
Right.
Right?
But how old do you think you were?
18 months, maybe?
18
2
months.
Years?
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's important that people think about what was my very first memory. You know, because
apparently now I'm going to be thinking about that all day.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not.
Okay, we're off to a bad start.
No, fine.
Okay, next question. What sports did you play as a child?
All of them.
Okay.
Baseball, basketball. You know, grew up the son of a high school, college basketball coach, educator. My mom was an educator, and so basketball. Certainly, baseball, golf. I played a lot of golf as a kid because
wow.
I would mow yards in the morning and go to the golf course in the afternoon. The golf course when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old was my babysitter for my parents. They just dropped me off at the public municipal golf course, Covington Woods in Bowling Green.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I just played them all. Didn't play hockey.
Okay. So, everything but hockey.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've covered sports for decades. What's one game or one moment that didn't make headlines but that you wish more people had seen or appreciated?
Wow. That's a good question. One that stands out that I got to see Emmitt Smith as at Pensacola Escambia High School. I was living down in Gulf Shores and had a distribution company in Bowling Green. I'd go back once a month for a week and then go down there. And I got writing for the Mobile Press Register as a correspondent in my Baldwin County, Pensacola. And so I saw him as a high schooler. And he would get past the line of scrimmage. Instead of running to the end zone, he would go find somebody to run over and then go to the end zone. So I would say that one, that memory of just how amazing he was
even then.
A high schooler. And then went on to Florida and obviously the Cowboys.
But wow. Yeah. Wow, okay. Well, here's another one. With social media and podcasts, and of course everybody has a podcast these days, being so prevalent, has the role of the sports announcer or columnist evolved, and if so, how?
Well, I'll take it even a step further. Yes, it's when I was the beat writer for the prep editor of the Banner, then covered the Oilers to here, and Vanderbilt beat writer and all of that stuff, you know, I would write for the newspaper. And it came out you know, the banner, you know, I get all my stuff in. It comes out in the afternoon. I'd be at midnight down at the tennis, at, you know, because the Tennessean and the banner were in the right. same building. I would at midnight be there to see what the Tennessean had, because I knew if they had something and I got beat, I had to wake up at 4 in the morning. But now it's instant. It changed everything. If something breaks now, it's on my phone now. It's on all. It's so you. It's the roles reversed. Before, you sort of controlled the narrative because you were the gatekeeper, sure. if you will, and you had that set. Now, I don't know that I would really enjoy being a beat writer because you're it's constant. You're never off.
So
does that make sense?
Is that it does. What do you think are the positive points of that, though, because it is instant?
Or? Yeah, I guess that, you know, we're in an instant gratification yeah, world, and you are. Need to know and everything. You know, the downside is all the everybody can be on, you know, social media
That's
now
true.
And everything, and there are a lot of people that can, you know, I could go out and do my own website, I can do my own social media, and I can go out and I can throw something against the wall, and I have no accountability to anybody. When you work at Channel 5,
right.
when me in my newspaper, right, I was not only accountable to my editors, my bosses,
sure.
but also to the advertisers, wow. to, you know, everybody who's, you know, it's a business
right.
on
it
top
business.
Of everything.
Yeah.
And so now I see no accountability. I can throw crap on the wall, and if it doesn't stick, so what? I'll just go throw another pile of crap
right.
on the wall.
Right.
There's no accountability.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. Seriously. Okay.
No,
that's good.
I haven't thrown crap on the wall in a long time.
I've never known you to throw crap on the wall, but okay. Speaking of podcasts and social media, what do you think of AI?
It's scary in a lot of ways. I see people putting out stories, writing. I mean, and, you know, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, just a Hall of Fame sports writer, one of the best in the country, she fights it because now AI can assist. Let's just take, for example, if you're a mid-major college,
right.
Tennessee State, for example, your staffing of your media relations department is very limited, yet you have sports in the you know, spring,
sure.
you've got every sport, in the fall, sports and everything, so you can now, through AI, get more things done, covered, where they used to be, you had to have physically someone there to do it. If you look at even the SEC website, which you think the SEC's got all the
sure.
money in the world, all of their stuff is AI generated now for a lot of the, but it's formalized and templates and that. So I think that now the other way around, that's the good.
Okay.
The bad, it takes the human element out of it, and who's it's scary. It's almost too futuristic, you know. I think of 2001, A Space Odyssey, where HAL took over the ship.
That's right. Okay. Now, here's a question. Has there been a time when you felt you were torn between being a fan and being a journalist?
No. I mean, not real well. Early on, I covered Western Kentucky, and
okay.
that was my parents went there. My dad played there, started his coaching career under the legendary Ed Diddle there, and so I was, you know, early on in my, you know, career, early 20s. Yeah, I grew up Western Kentucky,
sure.
and here I am covering them. So yeah, I don't think it's necessary, but you know, but being the Oilers/Titans beat writer, I never was emotionally invested with it, and it sort of – I've never became a fan. So, no, I don't think fanboy ever came out in me because I'm really only truly a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers, my alma mater, and now the Nashville Cats, now the Predators, because I really never hear – I also could never become a fan because I had to cover them, right?
Right,
and
exactly.
I had to pull back.
Sure.
But what you do, though – you become fans of people, and you want the people you see to succeed.
Right.
That in that, you know, I like Frank Wycheck or the people that
sure.
covered when they first moved here. They became my friends, but I wanted them to succeed. I remember the late Mike Heimerdinger, offensive coordinator. He was in Murfreesboro, spoke to an event, and then we played golf, and we went to have dinner after it was over, and He was the offensive coordinator. I was the sports editor in Murfreesboro, Daily News Journal. And he said, "You're not bad for a sports writer." You know, I go, "You're not bad for a coach." He goes, "Where you could get along, but you know, but you'd rip me if you had to." And I said, "In a New York minute."
Wow.
I said, "We can sit here and break bread, but yeah, I mean, you know, you go out and get a DUI, it's in the paper."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And you've got a job and he's got a job.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
But you can be friends along the way, but there has to be an understanding. I want people to succeed, but it's not my job to help you succeed or cheer for you to succeed.
Right.
I know you hadn't asked me this, but this is, I got a philosophy on that.
Sure.
My philosophy, and I say it to this day, in how I look at reporting or commenting on things, if I look outside and I see a pretty day,
right,
I should talk about how pretty the day is.
Okay.
If I look outside and I see it raining and storming and it's nasty, don't come back and tell people how pretty it is. You gotta say it's storming outside right now.
Truthful.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people don't know this, and I didn't know it, but you hosted and directed a jazz show?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I was at a jazz show last night, as a matter of fact, at the Franklin Theater. Jeff Kaufman, the saxophone player for the Dave Matthews Band,
and
his wife are friends. He lives here.
Okay.
And just, I was the program music director of an album-oriented classic rock station. I started out in the radio, and I was going to put on festivals and go into that way. And then, but you know, I wanted to make the big money of sports writing, so I didn't do that. So I was, some guy approached me. His name was Tim Pfaff. Back then, record stores, you know, were the hubs of musicians and everything. Well, he wanted to come in and buy a Sunday night jazz show and have me host it, and he's the expert on it.
Wow.
And so I started it, and that was, you know, I don't know, 80 in late 70s. And I got it, and he was dating at the time Sue Mingus. You ever heard of Charles Mingus?
Charlie Mingus.
Is, so I got to meet Charlie Mingus. He sent her out of the New York scene, which in the jazz scene has got a lot of, historically a lot
for
of bad.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I got to meet, and so I sort of got hooked in it, follow it and everything, and so I really did a deep dive on 1949, Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, until Miles Davis went electric at about the same time Bob Dylan went electric at the Newport Festival. With his double album Bitches Brew,
right,
and that was okay. And but through the, I had just did a deep dive. I've become enamored with the history of the California jazz scene through the 50s, the in New York, and just that. And I can go pretty deep in the jazz world from 49 and through for about a 20-year period, and so. Acme Radio, Tom Morales, who his daughters Kendall and Lauren run it now. They have a radio station right in front of Acme Feed and See.
People can walk in and see it, and it's
AcmeRadioLive.com worldwide. And they said, "You want to do a local jazz show?" And I did every Sunday night from 8 to 10 o'clock. Over 200 shows. So do the math. That's 4 years before the pandemic.
Wow.
And so, and I was twice the Nashville Scene named it the best jazz radio show in Nashville. And then twice I was nominated as best disc jockey in the Nashville Industry Music Awards. And it was the only one that was not terrestrial. It was streaming. So
okay.
I just... I've got quite a collection of jazz.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Now, was that your original love of music? Was it jazz
No.
or was it something else?
No, I grew up rock and rolling,
okay.
You know, and the Beatles and
right.
You know, all of that stuff. And, you know, but I love all, you know, bluegrass to jazz. I mean, what do you, you know, it's, there's two kind of musics, music. There's good and bad.
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, speaking of that, do you think there are any similarities between jazz and sports?
Well, it's jazz is such a, I mean, there's probably 70 different sub-genres, sure. sub-genres of, you know, there's smooth jazz, there's, you know, there's right. all that. That's a really good question, Vicky, because of the structure of some kinds of jazz, but there's the more that I like is more avant-garde, okay. more, and so I don't, I've never correlated the two. Okay. I really haven't.
All right, that's fine.
But now you got me thinking about it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Nashville Cats.
All right. Well, let's do this. We need
have
to take
a break.
Yep.
Yeah, all right, let's take a break. This is One on One with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, right here in 94.9 The Fan.
You're listening to One on One with Greg Pogue,
presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan
and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Answering the questions. Now, before we got went into break, I said, let's talk about the Nashville Cats. It's safe to assume that being a co-owner of an Arena Football One League team is a dream come true. How did that dream evolve?
Well, you know, I knew about the original success of the Nashville Cats and the Arena League,
right.
and it sort of become disjointed in the late 2000s. And so there was two local business people approached Jeff Fisher, and of course Jeff and I are now the partners. Bobby Dvorsny, the CEO, I'm chief operating officer, partner with Jeff, and obviously he's the president, and he's also the commissioner of the league.
Oh.
And the owners, I got to go to Chicago tomorrow night for 3 days for the owners meetings. Anyway, so they approached Jeff, for obvious reasons, and Jeff and I have been friends over the years. I probably dare say I'm the only former beat writer of a major pro sports team who became a business partner with the person he covered.
Wow.
Think of
that's
that.
True.
Well,
you're right.
Yeah, and so that, you know, I guess I did every, you know, Jeff, we had our, I wasn't afraid if, you know, I'll tell you.
Him.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. And so, and then our paths would cross, and we had some things together we had done. But then I'm the play-by-play announcer at Tennessee State. Well, right. Eddie George, obviously, he played for Jeff. And then Jeff's son, Brandon, was defensive coordinator. They're at Bowling Green State University. They're, you know, they're playing today at Ohio U. Jeff's up there. And so I got to spend more time around Jeff at road trips, this and that,
sure.
and everything, and he said, hey, take a look at this, because, you know, I have an entrepreneurial spirit.
I can tell.
And so, yeah, I've owned a restaurant. You know how you end up with $1 million in the restaurant business?
Wow.
You start with $2 million. So, and so it evolved there, and then he took over, you know, the franchise, and now we run it. And so, yeah, I mean, I have been on the peripheral of that side of the operation, so I knew a lot about what needed to be done and everything. And so, you know, we just jumped in. But yeah, it's this will be the second year of this iteration of the Cats, third year overall coming up.
Okay.
And you know, we just announced Thursday that all of our games are going to be at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville in partnership with the Nashville Predators.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So what's the best part of being a co-owner or being one of the big wheels?
I don't have to explain why we lost,
okay.
you know,
sure.
Or, yeah, just all of it. I'm not as young as I used to, but I like the challenge. I like the fight. This is certainly a challenge. It is still a growing business, and I just like, you know, I'm in sports, and I've seen that side of it, and peel back the curtain and be a part of putting together help manage a business that's in the world of sports. I don't micromanage, especially the
okay.
football side. Our head coach Darren Arbett is a general manager. You know, he came up to me, he said, I said, well, no, I understand. You don't want me doing your job.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
I've seen that component before where, you know, people in charge, whether it's administrative or owners, try to be football people.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned, no, that's, I've never made a movie, but I know when one sucks, okay?
I get it.
Yeah.
What do you think you brought to the table?
Connections, the marketplace, years, you know, the obviously the media side of it, but just I've been involved. My company, Pogue Media, I've probably had in the last 30 years in this marketplace, probably over 150 clients, but top to small, little ones. You know, it could be, you know, hey, you can have a commercial, here's a candy bar, right? You know, but it's still, and just relationships and knowing how this city and how the sausage is made.
Now, I ask you about what's the best part of being a co-owner. What's the worst part of being
a co-owner?
Well,
we were doing travel. I went to every game, and I wanted to see it. We did also on our family of stations here at Cromwell, 93.3 was our station, and I did all the road games on radio. Okay. Chase McCabe, and the program director here, does the home games. But just I wanted to live the travel and see, and you know, I was named the Arena AF1 Executive of the Year.
How many titles do you have?
I was named the Executive of the Year, I'm the only executive / partner that's been to every one of their team's games. Most of them, or they would just fly in like
sure.
an owners do,
yeah.
and or whatever. I'm not that. I bus trips and this, and from Oregon. I've been to Dodge City, Kansas, 3 times in the last 2 years. You know, you ever said, get the hell out of Dodge?
Right.
I actually got the hell into Dodge and then out.
Okay. Now tell us about working at TSU. That's got to be
Teresa, Howard Gentry. Everybody knows,
oh, sure. Everybody knows
Howard is a dear friend. And I grew up, well, I remember being in the watching Hope Hines. Okay.
Yeah.
Hope is my big brother. I have not made a professional decision in this marketplace without calling Hope.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's very smart.
And we worked together when I was at the Banner and Channel 5, you know. I'll tell you a real quick story.
Sure.
Sidebar. I know you didn't ask, but we would the Banner would come out in the afternoons, the Tennessean would come out in the morning, right?
Oh,
and this
okay.
was before the internet.
Right.
So I could have at 4 o'clock in the afternoon a scoop and know that I have it first, and I know the Tennessean doesn't have it,
right.
but they'll eventually get it, and they're going to have it before me because of the newspaper cycle,
sure.
right?
Right.
They're always going to have it first in the morning. And so Hope and I worked on several stories, and if I had a story that I knew was going to be in the Tennessean,
right.
and mine too, I would give it to Channel 5, and they would go on, and I would give it to the Associated Press, Teresa Walker,
wow.
that way, and then Hope would go on according to the Nashville Banner and do the story,
okay.
and then the Associated Press and would put out the stories according to the Nashville Banner. Well, the Tennessean would call up Teresa and said, hey, why are you giving them credit? As in, you know, because, and I was giving them to them because we weren't going to have it first,
right.
but because of the cycle.
Sure.
And so, but we got credit for it. And Teresa said, hey, Greg Pogue calls me up, gives me the story. You can do the same. You can do the same. That's so, yeah. But
so,
what was the question?
No, so you paved your own way. No,
yeah.
I just wanted to know more about, you know, what's going on with TSU. And
oh, yeah.
Hope,
that's right. He would host the John Merritt Coaches
oh, yeah.
Show.
Yep.
You remember that?
I do remember.
And I was enamored with John Merritt. Cigars, and it'd be Sunday morning. It'd be cigar smoke on, you know, and everything. He probably had a glass of whiskey off the side and everything. And Western Kentucky at the time. So I just, and then Howard, we became friends and actually did some morning shows together. And Teresa Phillips, the AD, and we became friends. And I just thought that they were, the underserved is maybe not the, maybe it is, but I saw where they were fighting a bear with a switch. They had no coaches show. They
sure.
had no radio product. They didn't have anything. And Bill Freeman, Freeman Webb, who sponsors the late Bill Freeman,
right.
who sponsored everything that I've done in this marketplace, Freeman Webb, and a big booster of TSU. So I just The mission of the HBCU, I thought, was important.
Right.
And TSU's place in this market was important. And so I filled a need and got a – I've been their play-by-play announcer for – this is 14 years. I just do football. Basketball became a little bunch.
Okay.
You know,
with and you're doing it today.
Doing today. Got Tennessee Tech.
All right.
It's this afternoon.
Another question here. You've had a number of partners over the years, Joe Dubin, my good friend John Burton, and several others, including, obviously, Jeff. What kind of energy did each one bring to you?
Different kinds. Joe, I don't know what he did. I mean, I can't figure him out now. No, Joe and I, and a lot of what Chase and Joe do together with their show, a lot of the components on their show, Joe and I started together.
Oh.
And just, you know, different. They were, that's a good question too, Vicky. I think we understood that we're here on the radio, in my mind, to entertain. Okay. You know, you can be a, it's not, I didn't ever approach it as a journalist, right? That I had that over here. Radio, I found a way to make money, okay, and supplement my income, but also just to have fun and not take it, you know, we're not splitting atoms here, okay?
Sure.
You know, and so that was, I think each one along the way, if we couldn't, and I did it most recently with John Dwyer, if you and I didn't get along off the show, we're not going to get along on the show.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So friends first.
Okay. Was that with all of them?
Yeah.
Joe and
well,
there's
a few that
you don't want to talk about.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
I can talk about them. I just won't name names.
Okay.
That's like, oh, I can't work with this guy.
Okay. Here's another one. If you could go back into time when you were your younger self, what advice would you give yourself about the future? Your future.
Well, Mickey Mantle said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So that, I wondered if, you know, I always thought the coaching part of it was going to be in there because I grew up the son of a coach and I just saw the impact that my dad had on young people.
Right.
And so I would have, though, probably taking a different. I was going to be a writer. I knew that. I had some success. High school, I won several statewide writing contests. And
great.
So in my writing, it just was, it's easy. It's not, it's a chore now, so I don't do it anymore. I would have been a travel writer.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I would have become a travel writer.
Do you get the chance to travel? I mean, obviously,
oh, yeah,
to games or something. For fun, do you
I've
get
been,
to travel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, but usually it's to go. I've been traveling so much because of work.
Yeah.
I want to pick out places. Like, I went to Dodger Stadium to see my Brewers. There's a whole other story. How am I a Milwaukee Brewer fan in Dodger Stadium this year? And I've been to L.A., but I've never been to Dodger Stadium. So I want to go to next year. My plan is to go to St. Andrews to the British Open, the Open,
okay,
at the original course at Royal St. Andrews. But no, I've been to 43 states. I added them up the other day. And mostly paid for by my job.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, now, why the Brewers? I have to ask that.
Robin Yount, my favorite player of all time. And he was 18 years old, same age. And when he started, and I got to into that, I thought it was really how that city allowed Hank Aaron to come back there and finish his career. Most people would think he hit most of his home runs in Atlanta. No, he hit more home runs in Milwaukee.
Oh,
1957, the year I was born, the Milwaukee won the World Series. Okay, and if they ever win the World Series, I will have a Brewers logo tattoo on my body.
Are you really?
I'm going to do that. And so hopefully this year. But, I travel. I've been to a lot of places because of work. Yeah.
Were there some places you haven't gone to yet that you would like to go?
Maine.
Oh,
the
okay.
Maine, the
okay,
north, up
sure.
The northeast. Yeah, all the way up to Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anything like Italy, or are we?
Yeah, I mean,
about,
yeah, oh yeah.
I'm sure you've
well,
gone to all of these.
No,
places.
I haven't been to Europe. You
oh,
know,
really?
Yeah, and
okay.
I would like to go to. I would like to go to England, Spain, Italy, all those. Yeah.
Start a whole new career.
Oh yeah. Yes, I need another career.
Yeah, you need another one. Okay, here we go. What do you think the next generation of sports media is missing or getting wrong?
I think, well, we talked about the accountability part as well. The need to have instantaneous gratification.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Sure.
And the need to have something churning out there, whether it needs to be churned or not. Okay?
Right.
Just a lot of it I see is content just for the sake of content, you know, and I see it. And so, like the Titans, for example, there, you know, I can get, there's 14 places I can go to get Titans news.
That's
right
true.
Now. The uniqueness of it, show me a unicorn. I need a unicorn.
Right.
Everything else is gray matter to me.
Do you think that everybody's kind of doing the same thing no matter what? They're
yeah.
just kind of, it's just like you
I
said,
do.
Churning it
yep,
out.
Yep.
And we will be right back. This is 101 with Greg Pogue. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 101 with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan
and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
We are back. I'm Vicki Yates. This morning we have our special guest, Greg Pogue. We're finding out all kinds of things about Greg. Greg, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, here's one. Give us your assessments of local professional sports teams.
Okay, just where they are today.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans are nearing a low mark in a lot of ways. You're not going to get the number one overall draft pick for, you know, and it's the roster misses have really taken its toll. I don't know who could really, you know, you got to feel for Brian Callahan. Now, sure, he's on a learning curve as well.
Sure.
And you could see that with a lot of his in-game decisions and different things like that. I think no one ever won the Kentucky Derby on a mule. Okay, just tell you that. Think of that.
That's true.
No mule ever won the Kentucky
right.
Derby. You can have the best jockey in the world.
That's true.
If he's on a mule,
you're
it don't
right.
matter. The Predators last year had everyone was surprised with the money they had spent through free agency and players, and you're not going to have that many players have down career years at the same time.
Sure.
And that happened. Nashville SC, I've just never grew up around it. I appreciate it. I understand the love of the sport. The Sounds got the best minor league operation in the country. That's reflected in attendance and the event that has become. The Nashville Cats, obviously. And then the colleges, Vanderbilt football, Clark Lee has got their 18th in the country right now. They're on an uptick. They were slow to the party in the NIL world, but I think they're catching up there. In the NIL world, you can have the Vanderbilts of the world be competitive
right.
because it's now you're paying players and legally.
That's true.
And so you can compete where, you know, and I think it's it on TS. Now it's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Nashville SC. Mm. Do you think that it's kind of bringing in a different kind of group? Because I've gone several times, mm-hmm. and it seems like it's a younger crowd. It seems like it's a
– Diverse.
Very diverse.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. How
important is
that?
I think the sport, obviously, you know, for the Hispanic population and everything, I think it's very important. I understand it. I'm not a big fan, though, of and just call it like it is, of their efforts – to get rid of the Fairground Speedway. I think
okay,
they can coexist.
Sure.
Okay, and of course the value of that land, and of course Mayor O'Connell just said he wants it there. I read Gentry Estes, columnist for the Tennessean, recently wrote he wants it, but the residents around there don't. Well, let me ask you something. Don't move next to an airport and complain about the noise. Don't move next to a, and it's only, what, Saturday night? I mean, and the and it's only because now through gentrification, the value of those properties have risen, and we you got people, and so I just hope the history of the fairgrounds, I think, is important. Hope Hines did a commercial for them. You know, they were going to tear down the Ryman Auditorium.
That's crazy.
You know, I mean, this is part of our history. Once it's gone, it's gone.
That's true. Well, then, speaking of that, how do you feel about everything changing? I mean, Nashville looks almost nothing like it did when I first got here.
This is what I don't like. If you come here because of what we are, then don't come here and try to change us. Okay? You came here. Don't. You know, and so I think, you know, the people are moving from California. And you know what? You could come from California here. I mean, our prices, home prices are steep, but nothing like
but not
that.
Like California.
You can come here and get, you know, three of what you have
That's true.
And so just don't. This is like where we are right now, Roy's Meat Service. We need, we need, this is Nashville. And don't lose that.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, here's a question. Tell us about your family.
I told you I'd live in the Gulf Shores. I would come back, and you know, I had a place that was near a an attorney's office, and I saw this tall, skinny blonde that was walking around downtown, and she wouldn't talk to anybody really, I just seen her and tried to talk to her. So on September 4th of 1986. We were at a party together, and I made it a point, you know, and she goes, yeah, I know who you are. So, well, that was Labor Day weekend. So on September 4th of 1986, our first date was I was doing a jazz show on Sunday night back then, and we went to Shoney's at 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, knowing my wife now. She wouldn't go across the street right now, but
at 10 o'clock. Yeah,
so September 4th of 1986 was our first date. September 4th of 1987 in Gatlinburg, I proposed at the Park Vista Hotel.
Aww.
At September 4th of 1988, we got married.
Oh my goodness!
And then can I tell? Okay,
sure.
So I tell people this, and she hates this. September 4th of 1986, our first date. September 4th of 87, we got married. I proposed September 4th of 88. We got married, and September 4th of 89, we had sex. So,
well, you must have at least twice because you got two kids.
Theoretically. And my daughter, son, I have a special needs son, Clay. He will be with us all the way, and he's a partner at a day program called Possibility Place, which is a nonprofit in Murfreesboro, and he's everything to me.
Sure,
and
it's, of course.
You know, and then my daughter, it's Grace, is manages a title business in Gateway. She's in real estate, but now she's part of the management team at Gateway Title in Murfreesboro. Very proud of her and her husband, and they have rental properties, and you know, just they've really done very well. And and then my one grandbaby, you've got several.
I do.
You know, and but Alice Rose.
Aww.
nothing like when your baby girl's baby girl.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
so,
nothing like it.
Yep.
So where do you see sports going? I mean, overall, because things have changed so much, even in this world of sports. Do you see it growing? Do you see it being a little more niche?
Well, collegiately, the NIL, the transfer portal, they'll get the transfer portal under control. But the name, image, likeness, their own greed created it. You know, I thought it was funny. Nick Saban is in front of Congress with a base salary of $10 million a year saying, we can't pay players. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court, 9-0. You know how often they agree 9-0 on anything?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So, and it's even now on the high school level. In our country, you cannot deny me my right to make money on my name, my image, and my likeness.
Yep.
And so the greed created it. Now, it's now professional sports at the highest level. Starting next year, they will be required each, if you opt in to the House settlement, you will be required to spend in payroll $20 million a year. that's required. That's your base, and you can actually go up to $28 million a year. That's your that's through all sports. That $20 million, $18 million will probably go to $17, $16 million go to football. Then the other sports will be spread out. It's certainly Title IX issues are huge right now, but that's been pushed aside. But they're not going to – NIL is undefeated. That's why we have it on the high school level right now, too.
Okay.
You can legally pay somebody in high school to come. I could go out to good pay. I go to East Nashville over here, and, hey, I want to pay you to promote this, you know. But, you know, that's – and it's their own greed created it.
Wow. Well, now, what do you think about women's sports, especially WNBA?
It's amazing. It really is. Certainly Caitlin Clark and that,
yeah.
You know, whether, you know, she's polarizing. That's what you need.
That's
conflict,
true.
You know. Okay, and so, yeah, but I know they didn't in this next round, Cleveland, but in WNBA expansion, you've got, you know, the Predators and Haslam behind it now, and that bid with Peyton Manning and Candace Parker. They will eventually have and I think it'll kill it right here. They'll kill it.
Do you think it's an inspiration, especially to young ladies?
Oh, yeah. You know, in a lot of ways, I think it's maybe baseball suffering. I think people like to – or of color, of diversity, or female,
sure.
You like to see people like you succeed,
exactly.
Okay?
That's true.
And that I can do that, too.
Right, that's true.
You know, I think that's the most important part of it.
I agree with you. Okay. Well, we're going to go to break, and we will be right back.
Oh, 94.9 The Fan?
94.9
The Fan.
The Fan.
You're listening to One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
You like that one? I had to learn, if you get married in Tennessee, if you get married in Kentucky, and then you move to Tennessee and get divorced, are you still considered brother and sister? So, anyway, go ahead.
All right.
I just jumped all over your show.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's great. It was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you one more question.
Yeah, because we just got a few more minutes.
Okay.
You'll go up to the music bed.
Okay, great. 5 years from now, what do you see yourself doing?
Pulling for the Nashville Cats to win the Arena Football League, Arena Football One. The growth of that league, it's now with Jeff as the leader nationally.
Sure.
The growth, we're going to be announcing franchises all over the country in the next few weeks. And, yeah, I really am totally invested in the Nashville Cats. I think that, I mean, here's why, a family of four cannot afford to go to the Titans,
no,
cannot afford to go to the Predators. Mm-hmm. They can come to our game and get that professional bells and whistles sports experience. And we say, hey, we're throwing a party. We hope a football game breaks out.
Right.
You know, so,
sure.
The cat, and what when I take pictures of my grandbaby, I call it future owner Nashville Cats.
What is the average price of a ticket?
It's, you know, you can get a season ticket, 6 games, $90. Matter of fact, there's a hashtag keep the Cats that we had nothing to do with.
Oh, really?
That the Predators, because they run F&M Bank Arena now, our partners, Michelle Kennedy, who came and did this, Sean Henry, it's $90. But you can now go and put a down payment of $26. And we didn't do this. This was done for us. This is zero marketing. And they've sold 750 season tickets without us spending a penny marketing. Well, the holds, anyway, $26 gets you out. But it's we'll have some $15, $20 tickets all the way up to $80 to $100. And that $80 to $100, though, gets you the, you know,
all the
stuff.
All the bells and whistles.
Hear the music.
Seems like we're about to wrap it up, Greg. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
I have learned so much about you, and I know your listeners and followers have learned
it,
too.
Well, thank you. You are a true Nashville treasure.
Thank you. So are you. Look who's talking.
Yeah, but I don't look like I'm 38 years old. Okay. I got underwear that old. Man, I didn't say. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
This has been
a
treat.
This
was your idea. I want people to know that. And so thank you so much.
Oh,
you're such a sweet lady. Everybody loves you.
Anytime.
Everybody loves you.
Thank you.
You're very lovable.
I'm just glad to be here.
All right. Hey, we got MTSU football over on 93.3 at 5, 3:30, the pregame, and then 102.5 right now. As a matter of fact, you want to bop on over there for the pregame and the Utah State kickoff at 11:45. Everybody have a great rest of your week. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.